Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? If you got your Bible, your iPad, your laptop, your desktop, your iPhone, Samsung, would you hold it up? If you believe it, let's say it together, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that people who do not believe that there is power in the Word of God, they cannot say that. Only people who go, the Word is alive, and if I immerse myself in it, I will never be the same again. You have to have a belief in the Word to say it. And if you don't have it, you can't say it. So bless those of you who by faith are believing that the Word of God is changing and transforming you and me. Would you turn with me to the book of John chapter 10? Book of John chapter 10. We had a bit of an interruption with Thanksgiving weekend. How many of you were here last Sunday for Thanksgiving? Yeah, how many of you weren't here? Raise your hand. How come? I'd like to go over every one of you. No, we won't do that. It was a great weekend, but it was an interruption with the series that we are talking about on hearing God. John chapter 10, I want to read from verse 1. This is our foundation scripture. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of a stranger. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you that when you deposited your Spirit inside of us, you made it so that our spiritual ears are open and we have the power to recognize your voice. I thank you that you are honing that. I thank you that you are perfecting that. I thank you that you are bringing us to a place where we hear with the same clarity and accuracy as Jesus did. And so, Father, before we begin today, I invite you to again possess me. Take total control of my mind, my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority that you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to come and snatch the seed and distract today, and I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building now in Jesus' name. And Father, I plead the blood over every mind under the sound of my voice today that as your word goes forth, that word would be understood and that word would bear deep root in order to bear much fruit. I thank you again, Father, that throughout this time you are going to be speaking words into the hearts and minds of people that are not going to come out of my mouth. I ask today that every person would hear what you are saying, those words would be captured, because we do believe that one word from you changes everything. And so today, by faith, we say thank you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody believing and expecting said, amen. Well, for the last number of weeks, we have been talking about the area of hearing the voice of God. We began the first Sunday by talking about how the Holy Spirit began working in my life, bringing me to a place where I could actually believe that God was wanting to talk to me in a way that I could hear his voice with clarity. I grew up during the era like you did, where if someone believed they heard God, they were ushered to Unit 3. That somehow hearing God was an abnormality as compared to hearing the voice of God as his child is a normal, natural part of a living relationship. I shared what God used in my life to awaken me. The Sunday after that, we talked about the heart of God. looking at God and having his heart going, I want you to hear my voice. I created you to hear my voice. Of all of creation, you and I are the only ones that he allowed not just to hear, but to speak. And if we are created in the image of God, that means God speaks. We talked about his heart. The Sunday after, we looked at how God has spoken in the past. We looked at all the ways from a donkey to the cloud and the fire. We looked at angels. We looked at all of them. We probably didn't get all of them. There's probably another 1,000 more, but we looked at some of the main ones. Today, we're going to look at the whole area of how God has spoken through his son Jesus. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 1? Hebrews chapter 1. The writer of Hebrews, and I am always leaning toward the possibility that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, beginning in verse 1, says this, In the past, God spoke. We talked about God speaking. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That is what we looked at a number of weeks ago. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. I got to just stop there for a second. This is not where the message is going, but the Lord wants me to just throw something at you that some of you are aware, some of you are not. When the Bible says that through Jesus, God made the universe, we need to grasp that. When we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, we went through it. We looked at Genesis 1:3, 1:6, 1:9, 1:11, 1:14, 1:20, 1:22, 1:24, 1:26, 1:28, 1:29. It said, and God said, and God said, and God said, let there be, and God said, and God said. We need to grasp that every time we read that, God was speaking his will through Jesus. Jesus spoke and things came into being. Let me give you a couple verses. Would you write down John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. All things were made through Jesus. The Father spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke and things came into being. Would you write down John chapter 1, verse 10? We'll look at this a little bit later. It says this, he was in the world. The world was made through him. The world was made through Jesus. And look at the last part. But the world did not recognize him. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I want you to see the world was made through Jesus. Just write down one more. Colossians 1, verse 16 says this, for by him all things were created. Talking about Jesus, by him all things were created. I want you to think about this. When John says, in the beginning was the Word, he is referring to Jesus as the Word. If there was any thought about God not wanting to speak, why would he refer to his Son as the Word? The Word spoke. The Word still speaks. We're going to talk about the Word speaking today. I want to begin by sharing with you, how many of you watch Dr. Phil? It's okay to admit it in church. How many of you watch Dr. Phil? Yeah. How many of you should watch Dr. Phil? Okay. How many of you know who Dr. Phil is? How many of you have no clue what I'm talking about? Okay. Thank you. Is Dr. Phil still on? Is he? Haven't watched him for a long time. But I got to tell you, and this is probably about a year ago, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago, maybe during the COVID agenda where things were a little quieter and whatever. We had Dr. Phil on in our home one day. And what caught my attention is the program was about two adult children who contacted Dr. Phil and said, Dr. Phil, Our elderly father in his 70s is in an online relationship. And over the past 2 years, we have watched our dad give this online lady an untold amount of money. We have no idea how much, but he goes to the bank, he gets money orders, he sends them. He's been doing it for 2 years. They said, "Dr. Phil, we need your help." I'm sure of the thousands of requests that Dr. Phil got, his people scanned this one, pulled it out, showed Dr. Phil. They decided to do the program. When I watched the beginning of the program, I saw the elderly gentleman was sitting on the one side. His two adult children, probably in their 40s and 50s, were sitting on the other side. Dr. Phil was in the middle, and the conversation began. He asked the father how they met. He says, "Well, I was just on the internet and doing some searching, and all of a sudden this person responded to me, and they were so pleasant and so nice, and we started talking back and forth." And he says, Dr. Phil says, "So how long has it been going on?" He goes, "Well, maybe a little over 2 years." He goes, "Have you ever talked to this person on the phone?" He goes, "A couple times. I've talked to this lady a couple times on the phone," but he goes, "as a whole, all we do is talk on the internet." He says, "Have you ever met her?" The elderly gentleman says, "Have never met her." He says, "But I have her picture." So Dr. Phil said, "I'd like you to have a look at the picture." They put the picture up on the screen, and this gentleman was probably in his mid to late 70s. They put a picture up on the screen of a lady who was maybe in her late 50s and 60s. She was beautiful. A lovely lady. And Dr. Phil said, "This is the picture that she sent you?" And she goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yes, that's the lady." Dr. Phil said, "Can I ask you a question?" He goes, "Your children have talked to me and said that you are sending money periodically to this lady." And they went over her circumstances and how she was desperate for this and how she needed to get a visa to get out of her country. And we could just go down the story, right? So he asked the gentleman, he said, "Could I ask you, over that 2 year period of time, can you tell me how much money that you had sent to this lady?" He goes, "I really don't know." And Dr. Phil said, "Well, I do." Dr. Phil began to unravel the circumstance. Dr. Phil said, "In the last 2 years, you have transferred over $160,000 to this lady through the bank." The children sat there, their jaws were like, they knew it was lots, they had no idea it was that lots. Dr. Phil looked at the elderly gentleman and says, "Does that surprise you?" And he goes, "A little bit." He goes, "I didn't think it was that much, but," he goes, it could be. He goes, "I've got the documentation right here." He said, "I'd like you to look at the picture." He said, "Are you convinced that this is the lady that you are conversing with and have this relationship?" He goes, "Yes, I believe that's her." He said, "Well, we've done some research." He said, "We have actually found the lady in the picture." He said which state in the United States she was from. He said, "We have contacted this lady, and we have asked her if you are the one that this gentleman is talking to on the phone when you talk." She goes, "I have never heard of him. I am not online. I have never had a conversation with this person." Dr. Phil said, "Well, I need to tell you that your picture has been stolen off the internet, and it has been used with this gentleman to say this is who he's in relationship with, this is who he's talking to." And he looked at the gentleman, he said, "Does this surprise you?" He goes, "I guess a little." He went through the whole list of all the things they had discovered and found. The children were sitting there with hope inside of them going, "He has revealed the fraud. He's revealed it's not the lady. He's revealed the amount of money. He's revealed that this is scam. It's happening all the time, all across the globe." Can I just bring this a little closer to home? A number of years ago, we had a single mom who attended our church for a period of time. They ended up moving to another province. We found out about a year later that this single mom got involved in an online relationship. Long story short, ended up going to Amsterdam to meet who she thought was the person, took $40,000 with her, went to Amsterdam. Someone met her in the airport. They went to the hotel room, set her up. This person said, I need to go. Can I have the money? I will go and deal with all the banking stuff that I need to do. I will come back, and then we will fly. She gave the money. The man disappeared, never returned. For most of us, we look at that and we go, how stupid can you be? But can I tell you, this was a bright lady. This was an educated lady. This was not a flake. This was not a half-bake. This was not someone you'd look and go, wow, this was... Can I tell you the outcome of the story with Dr. Phil? At the end of it all, Dr. Phil looked and said, is this enough to convince you that this is not real, that you should not pursue this relationship, that it should end here? He goes, I don't think so. Dr. Phil said, how come? He goes, because our conversations are so wonderful. When I am alone in my house and we are on the internet and talking, I am not alone. This person is such an encouragement. This person has spoken such positive things into my life. I have no one else in my world who does that for me. What this man was saying is, in spite of the fact that she's not her, in spite of the fact he's given money, he goes, what I'm getting from this is enough for me to carry on. We look at that and go, open up and put some screws back in the right spot. But because it touched the heart, this gentleman continued in that relationship. Because it touched the heart, this young lady in our church flew, gave $40,000, and came home brokenhearted. Let me tell you what you already know. When you deal with the heart, sometimes you ignore the logic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I tell you that story because that is just a small picture of what happened to God in the Old Testament. Over a 4,000 period of time, God began to be misrepresented. They began to paint other pictures of who God was. They began speaking for God, saying, God said this, when God's going, that's not me. I didn't say that. They began developing God into something that was totally different than who he was. And as a result of that, the people in relationship with him were relating to God wrong. Can I just say this to you? I wish that today, in 2020, in church, not outside, in church, I wish that every person had a perfectly clear picture of who God is. I want to tell you today, the distortion as to how we see God is maybe as clear today as it was back then. People still going, well, this is what God said, and he's going, I didn't say that. People is going, this is how God responds when you screw up. God's going, no, that's not how I respond. 4,000 years God put up with misrepresentation. And let me tell you very clearly, as hard as he tried to communicate the truth, as much as he tried to find prophets who would speak his word with clarity, and those prophets would speak it out, they would show the picture of God on the screen and go, this is what he's like. They look and go, no, that's not him. You're lying. And they stoned them. They killed them because it didn't match the image in their head. And can I tell you the faulty part of going through someone else? I want you to imagine for a moment if I chose Jay and I said, Jay, Jane and I aren't talking, but Jay, I would like you to tell Jane this. I'd like you to tell her this. How completely accurate do you think Jay would take my words, my heart, my intonation, and communicate them to Jane? Let me say it again. 4% of communication is spoken word. 96% is body language, facial, intonation, tone, All of that is 96. How well do you think Jay would do communicating my heart to Jane? Let me just help you. He would fail. As would any one of you if I chose it. But that's all God had. And let me tell you how perverted it became. Do you remember any kings when they wanted to find out what to do? They called their 400 prophets and said, tell us what to do. And they all go, oh, here's horns. You're going to ram the enemy like these horns are ramming one another. And all 400 go, yes, go into battle. Yes, go into battle. And Jehoshaphat goes, there's 400 here. Is there one who might truly speak from God? This is for somebody this morning. Can I tell you? There will always be people who come into your life and go, God told me to tell you, and it wasn't God at all. Don't you ever take a word that someone comes to you and says, God told me, and they give it to you, and you go, well, if God told me, I guess I'll take it. I don't care if it's me, the Pope, an angel, I don't care who it is. You take that word and you go, thanks for sharing that. And you go to God and you say, God, is that from you? And if God says, yes, I spoke to Call and Call came and talked to you, that was from me. Receive it from me. Then you receive it. But if you go to God and God goes, I didn't say that. I don't care who it's from. You take that word and you flush it. God had to deal with this for 4,000 years. Have you ever heard of the false prophet? Have you ever heard of the false pastor? Have you ever heard of the false teacher? Have you ever heard of the false spouse? Let's talk about how Jesus went about correcting what happened to the father's reputation. I want to share with you this morning Hebrews chapter 1. It says in the past that God spoke to prophets in many, many times in various ways. We talked about that. But he says in these last days he has spoken through his son. Let me make this really clear. The last days began about 2,000 years ago. When Jesus showed up on the scene, all of the time before him was the former days. When Jesus showed up, that was the beginning of the last days. Can I just set you free? We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. Now, we might be in the last of the last of the last days, but it's still the last days. I heard one person say a number of weeks ago when they were talking about what's going on, look at what's happening around the world. Can I just say this, just off on the side? Jane and I last night were listening to, what is the doctor's name, the Wisdom of Menopause? Christiane Northrup, accomplished doctor, author, I mean, traveled, speak, university professor, Vermont, I mean, just went down the line. She was talking last night about the new vaccine that's coming. I will give you that information. We might even watch it on the screen some Sunday coming. But I got to tell you, it was absolutely, absolutely alarming. When I listened to someone a few weeks ago talking about all that's going on in the world, they said, in my opinion, and this is them speaking, they go, in my opinion, we're not in the last days anymore. They go, we are in the last minutes. I don't know if that's true. But what I want you to know is when Jesus showed up on the scene, that was the beginning of the last days. The writer of Hebrews says, in former times, this is how God tried to get his communication out. In the last days, he has spoken to us through whom? His son. And then he carries on his letter. I want you to hear the heart of the Father in sending Jesus. How many of you are here when I shared the ant story? How many of you are here? How many of you believed me right up until I changed into the ant? It's okay to admit that. Yeah, it was a good story, wasn't it? If you haven't heard it, don't ask me. But I want you to hear the heart of the Father in sending Jesus. After 4,000 years, after Adam and Eve fell, left the garden, I wanted two things. Number one, he sent Jesus to deal with the sin issue. And can I just settle this really clearly? If there is another way to deal with a sin issue in mankind, do you think God might have chosen it? Can I tell you the sin issue cannot be dealt with through a plethora of different options, religions, beliefs, or faith? That might be bigoted, that might be narrow, that might be politically incorrect, but if you and I are as believers, we are at a point where we look at the Word of God, and when Jesus said, I am the way, not a way, I am the way. Can I just encourage you in these days of compromise, even in the church? I want to tell you, this morning in this city, there are pastors who are preaching multiple ways to salvation. There are pastors preaching there is no hell, and so everybody is going to heaven. It says in the last days, there will be false doctrine. In the last days, there will be false teachers. In the last day, there will be those who preach to tickle the ears of those who are listening. Can I just say to you, if I ever become guilty of tickling your ear, would you come and let me know? Oh, pastor, that was so wonderful that you preached something that made me feel so good. And, oh, that was such an awesome funeral, letting everybody know that even though they live like hell, they're going to heaven. That was wonderful, pastor. If that ever happens, you come talk to me. I'll tell you straight out, my goal is not to tickle your ear. My goal is to open your ear. In the last days, I want you just to hear it again. I believe there will come a time when you and I will pay a price for saying, there is no other way to be saved, just Jesus. They're going, are you serious? I guess you can't be part of our one world religion. Sorry, Bill Gates. Everybody is believing for peace. Everybody's believing for unity. But you Christians, you're not for unity. You Christians, you're not for peace. You Christians, you're not for love. And they're going to accuse you and I of all of that. Can I encourage you when the media tells that about you? Fake news. Fake news. The Bible says this, when someone's going to hell and I go to them and warn them, that's a statement I love them. If someone's going to hell and I go, you can believe whatever you want, that's totally fine. I won't challenge you. I won't offend you. The Bible says, I hate them. Don't let the media and the world mess with you what is right and what is wrong, what is love and what is hate. They will take it and twist it around. It is love when I say there is only one way for your sin to be forgiven, only one way for you to get to heaven. That is love. And I love you so much, I will not lie to you. Even if you don't like me. Oh, well. The heart of the Father was going, Jesus, if there is another way, we would do it. Jesus prayed it, going, God, if there is another way, can we do it? At the end, he even prayed it. He knew there was no other way. God knew it, said, Jesus, you're the only one. You're the only one. But let me tell you the second reason he sent Jesus. After 4,000 years of misrepresentation, after 4,000 years of having the wrong picture painted, after 4,000 years of people saying, God said this when he didn't say this, he said, Jesus, I need you to go down there to remove all the confusion, all the distortion, all the perversion, all the misrepresentation. God has said, Jesus, you need to go and you need to speak to them directly my words. And this is what he said. Not through anybody else. Not through creation, not through circumstance, not by throwing lots, not by angels, not by clouds, not by fires, not by dreams, not by visions. Jesus, you need to go and speak directly their language. Face to face. Let me give you just a private moment in my study. As I got to that place, God said, face to face, just like Moses and I did. And then I went, just like Adam and Eve did with me. That was mine. I wrote it down, and God stopped me right there, and he said, call. That's wrong. The way I related to Adam and Eve was not the way I related to Moses. Don't confuse them. We'll talk about that in a minute. So if you look at my piece of paper, I had to scratch it out because I recognized that was a flesh statement and not spirit inspired. Does that ever happen to you in your personal study when you're preparing to preach? I want to show you something just to get this inside of you. Isn't this a beautiful, clean whiteboard? Next time you see Kate, you can say, Kate, that is a beautiful whiteboard. And then you can say, Kate, how did you do it? Can I tell you how she did it? She took some of the poison that you and I have to put on our hands to disinfect all the time, and she put it on the blackboard. Let me just remind you again, when you walk into places and they tell you put it on, first thing you ask is this carcinogenic? Can I tell you, piles of that antiseptic you're sticking into your hands and rubbing in is cancer carcinogenic. You are taking in carcinogens in your body. Don't be ignorant. Ask the question. I refuse more often than not when they look at me and go, I can't tell you. I go, then I'm not taking it. I don't smoke for a reason. I'm not going to throw poison on my hands. That poison did a great job, didn't it? When you see Kate, just go, Kate, thanks for using the poison in the right thing. Our sanitizer is not carcinogenic, by the way, just so you know that. I want to show you something. This is 100% level, and I'm just going to graph it out. I'll show you. This is 100% level of what God is wanting in communication with you and I. We're going to talk about how to get there, and we could go God and Adam. This is in the garden. The moment Adam and Eve fell, and here is what he said. God said, when you eat of the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. What did Satan say? You won't die. God was going, you're not going to die physically. He's going, you're going to die spiritually. The relationship between you and me, that's going to die. The enemy said, you're not going to die. He was going, you're not going to die physically. So when Eve bit it and she didn't die, she went, I guess God lied. I guess Satan was truthful. I didn't die. No. God said you would die spiritually. Didn't talk about it physically. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, the intimacy communication level between God and man dropped to zero. Let me say this. We could walk out into the street today. I could go to any non-believer, walk into a bar, walk into a restaurant, and go, do you believe in God? They go, no. And I say, so how clearly do you and God talk on a regular basis? They go, what? When's the last time you had a conversation with God? We don't talk. When's the last time you heard God speak to you? I don't hear God speak to me. Now, if I asked them, do you ever use his name? They would go, oh, yeah, quite often. But the communication, the enemy knew that the moment they would sin, their communication would go here. Can I tell you warfare strategy? If I'm in battle, the first thing I want to do is knock out the communication tower. Have you ever heard that? Why? Absolute confusion. Let me ask you. When they fell down to zero, has there been confusion in the world since that point? Absolutely. Watch this. God says this is where fallen man is at. I'm going to try and speak to him in many and various ways. I don't want there to be zero. I want it to be 100, but until we can restore it, I'm going to try a pile of things. We went through a pile of things, that 10%. Can I say this to you? If you're still counting on dreams, if you're still looking to throw dice, if you're still looking at circumstances, if you're still looking at the moon for God to speak to you, and that's the only way you're doing it, you're functioning way below what God wants for you. Don't raise your hand. How many of you read the horoscope? Don't raise your hand. You want to be inspired by demonic people sitting behind there, throwing things in behind you? Just continue to read horoscope. There's a pile of people who read that little horoscope going, oh, that's so cute, man, and the camera's morning news. That's really sweet. Oh, look, they said today something good is going to happen to me. That must be God. No. Can I tell you? God for 4,000 years, many and various ways. Now, I don't want you to stone me. I don't want you to send me an email. I know what's going to happen here. I'm just warning you. I don't want any of that. Do I have your promise? You won't send me anything. Just raise your hand. Okay, let me do it the other way. You won't send me anything. Don't raise your hand. Okay, thank you, all of you. 4,000 years, many in various ways. God is going, Jesus, the confusion is too bad. Not only are you going to wipe out sin, but you need to go and you need to straighten this mess up. You need to straighten it up. Would you go? And Jesus goes, I will do it. And I will restore it back to 90%. Don't get angry at me. I'll tell you, at the end of Jesus' life, he said, I have to leave. I have to go. It's going to be to your betterment. When I go, then it will be restored back to 100 again. It will never be 100 as long as I'm here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me explain to you. Today, we're just going to talk about the 90%. I'm not saying Jesus failed in any way. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that Jesus knew his limitation and he did not have the ability to take us back into what Adam and Eve had in the garden. He did not have the ability on his own to do it. Today, all I want to do is share with you what Jesus did. Okay? Would you write down a couple things? Number one, would you write down every word? Jeff, are you able to pop some of this on the screen? Your writing is way better than mine. Would you write down every word? And I want you to write down John chapter 12, verse 49. It says this. This is Jesus' words. He goes, the words you hear from me, they are not my own. The words you hear from me are not my own, but it is from the Father who sent me. Can you imagine you and I getting to a place where every time we open our mouth, we go, these words are not mine. I am only speaking the words that I hear from my Father. Can I ask, how many of your words do you think would not be spoken anymore? In fact, let me say it really clearly. For those people who do not hear clearly from the Lord, they would never speak again. And that might be a good thing. The truth is, if we are speaking and they are not from the Lord, we are speaking words that are contrary to the Lord's will. And the fallout and damage of that is huge. Jesus said this. He goes, every time you hear me, it doesn't matter what circumstance it is, every word coming out of my mouth is the Father's words, uninterpreted, uninterrupted, no confusion, nothing that will distort. Every time you hear it, it is God's word. Can I say to you, when we have those words captured in the Bible, the enemy has been trying to destroy the validity of those words from the moment they were spoken. We're going to talk about the Bible next week and how God has used that Bible and is still using it. But can I say to you again that Jesus is the Word? The Bible alone can take you to 90%. We'll talk about that next week. But he said, Jesus, when you go down to the earth and when you choose to speak only my words, every time you speak, it will be 100% Father, 100% God. I want you to think about this. When Jesus said, when you hear me, you're hearing the Father, he's going, you're hearing the Father's words, you're hearing his heart, you're hearing his voice, you're hearing the voice of the shepherd, you're hearing the one who for 4,000 years has been trying to talk to you. Now, when I speak to you, you are hearing him. No confusion, no distortion, no misinterpretation, no misrepresentation, no intermediary of Jay going and talking to Jane. Now it will be me directly speaking to Jane, totally clear. That happened here 4,000 years later, it came back. Would you write down number two? Would you write down, he answered questions? He answered questions. Can I ask you a very dumb question this morning? How many of us in our life have ever had a question that we went, oh, I would love to be able to just sit with Jesus, ask him my question, and have him answer it with total clarity? How many of you have ever thought it'd be awesome to go to him and get an answer? The rest of you have not lived. I want you to write down Luke chapter 9, verse 54. I love this passage. It's a passage about two of the disciples going to a Samaritan town. They did not receive them. When they came back and went to Jesus, they said, "Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven and nuke them?" That's a good question, isn't it? Now, can you imagine if they would have exercised their authority and nuked them before asking Jesus? But here's the deal. They have a thought going, these guys are disobedient. They went to Jesus. Should we take them out? Should we wipe them out? You did it in Sodom. You did it in Gomorrah. Aren't you thankful that Jesus answered their question and said, guys, not today. Today we won't nuke them. Today we will make every effort in order to win their hearts so that they believe in us. They didn't respond today, but down the road they will respond. Can I ask you a question? How many things in your life would be better had you had gone to Jesus, asked him the question, he sat in front of you and said, no, don't do that. It's probably not wise to do that before marriage. It's probably not wise for you to invest your money in that spot. It's probably not wise for you to say that to your spouse. It's probably not wise that you would try and hide that from your butt. What an amazing thing that the disciples were able to go to Jesus at every time when they had a question, when there was confusion. They go, "Jesus, would you tell us?" And he straightened it out. He straightened it out. He straightened it out. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think. You got a question today that if you could go wherever Jesus was, I don't care if it was in Cairo, I don't care if it was in Amsterdam, I don't care if it was in New York City, that you knew he was there going, "I'm going to New York. I got to get him to answer this question. I need to know direction. I need to know. COVID or no COVID, I would go." But when Jesus was here, he answered their questions. Would you write down number three? Write down, he brought correction. He brought correction. For 4,000 years, wrong teaching, wrong representation, wrong law, wrong religious teaching had been given. When Jesus came, I want you to write down Matthew chapter 5. Just write down verse 43, but I want to give it to you. In verse 27, he said, "You have heard it said in the past, but now I say," and he corrected it. He said, "You've heard it say" in verse 31, "but now I say." In verse 33, he goes, "You've heard it said before, but now I say." I want you to hear verse 43. Jesus says this. Oh, let's read it. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see this. I want you to see what Jesus undid by coming to the earth. Matthew chapter 5. Look at this. Verse 43, he says this, "You have heard that it was said," and by the way, who would have told them? The spiritual leaders, the religious leaders, the pastors of the day. They would have said this, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Can you imagine somebody saying to people, "God is telling you, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy," and God is screaming, "That's not me." But they couldn't hear him. Why? Because the pastor was saying, "Love your enemy." The pastor was saying, "Judge the homosexual." The pastor was saying, "Don't forgive the one who made the mistake." And God is screaming, "That's not me. That's not my voice. That's not my heart. I have never said that. I have never said nuke them. I've never said throw them out of the church. I have never said that." Well, Jesus comes. He said, "You've heard it preached in the pulpit. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy." He goes, "But I say." And really what he's saying, "But the Father is saying." And look what he says. "But I tell you, love your" what? "Enemy. I want to just say this to you really clearly. We are entering into a day, and we are already there, where you and I, who believe in Christ alone, are going to have enemies. I don't care how silent you try and be. I don't care how politically correct you try and be. I don't care how you try to be a wallflower and just blend in so that nobody notices you and you don't raise a ripple and you don't offend anybody. If the time comes when you have to go either deny that Jesus is the only way and embrace this or accept it and pay a price, there will come a time where you will have an enemy. Can I just say to you, this is a good time to practice. We should all be practicing with some enemies now, which means go out and make one and just let your constitution deal with it, so when you have two, you're kind of okay. And when you have a whole bunch of them, you're really okay. Here's the correction. Jesus said, you've heard some people say, love those who love you and hate your enemy. He's going, let me give you clearly what the heart of my Father has always been. Let me tell you a very quick litmus test that will let you know if someone's religious or relationship. Do you know that religious people in the church are very critical? Very judgmental? Very condemning? Religion does what religion has been taught. When you have the Spirit of the Father, when you have heard the corrected words of Jesus where he goes, don't judge. I don't judge, so don't judge. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't shoot them. Don't persecute them back. When someone swears at you, don't swear them back. No, that's the old teaching. That was false. I don't care what church it came from. I don't care how many popes are in that church. It doesn't matter. If it's not me, it's not me. All you got to do is listen to someone in a moment when they open their mouth and they begin talking. You can tell instantly what spirit is operative through them. Those who have the Spirit of Christ will be building up and loving and blessing. Those who have the spirit of the Antichrist will be judging and criticizing and putting down and condemning. And both are alive and well in the church, by the way. That's where it'd be very beneficial if those words run from the Lord. Best to shut up. The entire time Jesus was here for 3.5 years, he corrected. He said, you've heard this, but this is the heart of my Father. You've been taught this, but this is the heart of my Father. You have had this law laid on you, but this is the heart of my Father. Jesus came and corrected and corrected and corrected. Brought it from here and here to the 90% correction here. Would you write this down? Would you write down, he will explain everything. He will explain everything. John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well, about 11-minute conversation that changed her life, changed the salvation of an entire village. At the very end of that conversation, they were talking about where they were supposed to worship. And she said, our fathers have said that we are to worship in Samaria, and you say worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, the time is coming and now is, where you don't worship in either place, but you worship in spirit and truth. This is what she said. She said, we know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything. She's going, now there is much confusion, but when he comes, he will explain. He will take what is muddy and he will make it clear. He will take what is confusing and he will simplify it. Can I just say to you, religion has a way of complicating the simple. And the Spirit of God has a way of simplifying the complicated. When you talk to someone and they are so complicated in their thinking, you go, I don't believe that is the Spirit of God. That is such confusion. You're spouting off knowledge. You're shooting off what you think is wisdom. You're making it so convoluted. The Spirit of God makes it so that even a child could grasp it. Some of us are way too adult for our own good. And Jesus has some choice words about religious leaders who did that. When the woman made that statement, the Messiah is coming, he said this. He said, I who speak to you am he. I am the one who will explain everything. I don't know about you, but I have a pile of stuff I would love him to explain. And he is. We'll talk about that. Would you write down one more? Would you write down, he modeled the Father's heart? He modeled, M-O-D-E-L-E-D, he modeled the Father's heart? Would you just raise your hand if you heard this growing up? Do as I say, but not as I do. Just raise your hand, would you? Look around the room. Look around the room. Raise your hand, would you? Okay. If I were to say to you, that was not from God, would you agree with me? And yet, why did it come through our parents who had God-like power and authority, and they looked and said, do as I say, but not as I do? So what are they saying? Don't lie. But on the phone, I'm going, no, I didn't do that. You lied, Dad. He says, shut up, kid. Just make sure you don't lie. Can I ask you a dumb question? How many of you know that a person's model is more powerful than their words? We all know it. We have a parent that said, you know what, don't cheat on your girlfriend. And yet they watch their dad go and cheat on their mom. Which one is the more powerful model? Which one are they going to catch? Can I tell you something about Jesus? Jesus looked at the religious leaders and he said, you preach and teach this, and yet you do it yourself? You tell people don't commit adultery, and yet over here you're committing adultery? Jesus said this. He goes, I'm here. He goes, my motto is, do as I do and do as I say. He said, when you watch my life, you will see that my life lives out my words. There is no compromise in it. God was going, finally! Do you remember the Apostle Paul made this statement? When I first read it, I thought, holy smoke, this is arrogant. But the Apostle Paul said, look at my life and imitate it. He goes, imitate me. What was he saying? Not that I'm perfect, not that I'm Jesus, not that I'm doing it all right, but he goes, in the areas that you see me doing what God wants, he goes, imitate that. Did I tell you Jesus had the ability? The only one who said, look at everything I do, look at the way I do it, look at every action, because it's from the Father and not me. He goes, imitate it. Men, the way I treat women, imitate it. People, the way you open your mouth when people fail, imitate it. Woman, I don't condemn you. Oh, the pastors are. Oh, the church is. Oh, the religious people are. Oh, the arrogant elder of the church. He goes, imitate me. Don't imitate the counterfeit. Don't imitate the immature. Don't imitate the one who's deceived. Imitate me. Woman, you were caught in adultery. I don't condemn you. Do you think the world would have the attitude toward the church they do today if we actually imitated Jesus as compared to doing? The Father said to Jesus, Jesus, I need you to go down there and straighten things up. I need you to go down there and I need you to paint a picture that is worth more than 1,000 words that could ever be spoken. So when you live your life and they just watch you, they can imitate it. Your words will back it up, but let them watch your life in every area. They need to see me. They need to see my heart. They need to see compassion. They need to see love. They saw it through Jesus. At the 90% level, Jesus never spoke a word that was his own. He never did an action that was his own. He represented the Father so well, he made this statement, if you have seen me, I got to tell you, that is one of my prayers. I fall way short, but I'll tell you, it doesn't change my prayer. Somebody said to me the other day, they made a mistake in my presence. First one who's ever done that, by the way. They made a mistake in my presence. And they watched how I responded, and their comment was, "You didn't holler at me." People who are used to being hollered at expect when they make a mistake, they're going to be hollered at by everybody. They said, "I made a mistake, you didn't holler." I said, "No." Do you know why I didn't holler at them? Because I never saw Jesus holler at the woman at the well. I never saw Jesus holler at the prostitute. I never saw Jesus holler at Zacchaeus, who is a thief. I never saw Jesus holler. I never saw him holler at all those people. So why would I? And let me tell you one other thing. When I have messed up, when I have fallen short, and I stand before the Father, I have never heard the Father holler at me. I have never heard that. So here's the cool thing. If the Father doesn't holler at his Son, the Father does not holler at his Son. Did you hear that? Jesus came and said, "Watch me, watch what I do, watch how I do it, and you are not seeing me, you are seeing the Father. I'm clearing up the misrepresentation. I'm clearing up the false picture. I'm speaking to you with incredible clarity after 4,000 years, 90%. Praise God. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. But I want to tell you, this is not where it ends. And we're going to talk about that next week. Zach, could I have you? Could I have you come? Before we end, I just want you to jot down really quickly. There are three areas where Jesus fell short. Would you write them down? Number one, he was unipresent, which means he could only be in one place at one time. That's not God. Number two, when Jesus spoke, he spoke externally to our physical ear, not internally through the voice of the Spirit. We'll talk about that next week. Number three, Jesus was limited by time. Do you think that he accomplished all of his work and all of his teaching in 3.5 years? He made this statement. He said, "When I go, the Spirit is going to come and keep on teaching you." He had 3.5 years and he was gone. He was limited by time. We're going to talk about how all of those were undone to bring you and I to the 100%. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I don't believe until we get into your presence. And even then, will we be able to fathom your heart and the price that you paid to restore intimate relationship with us? I want to thank you for 4,000 years of the myriad of ways you spoke and tried to communicate and make your heart clear. But Father, the price of sending your Son to straighten it all up, no greater love. I thank you again, Jesus, that you emptied yourself and you became like us. I thank you for your obedience for 33 and a half years where you never spoke an independent word. Wow. You never exercised your will and did something independent from the Father's heart. Wow. No wonder you're the only one. No wonder all of our good works and all of our knocking on doors and all of our bowing to Mecca could not earn what you did. How do we say thank you? All we have is to give you our life, to give you our voice. I thank you for allowing us to look at Jesus and to see someone who did not say, "Do as I say, but not as I do." We looked at him and he was able to say, "Do as I say and do as I do." Thank you for that perfect model. Release a grace over every person under the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit, as you are preparing us to move to a place of hearing your voice, not through the mouth of a physical Jesus, not through the sun, moon, and stars, but hearing your voice the way Adam and Eve did in the garden. You empower us to believe that it's possible. And would you bring us into that place of walking with a clarity that we have never known before? I ask that you would seal what was from you today. I thank you again for speaking into the hearts and minds of people, your words directly, not mine, but yours. We love your word, Father. We love hearing your voice. We love you sharing your heart. And we will not be content with less. I declare to you today what you already know. Your heavenly Father has blessed you, and he's keeping. He has caused his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. He has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week.